Hello, it's Pauline here, and I'm joined on this part of Chatterbox by Roy McLean. Before we hear Information Desk, we continue our news items with a new bout of Store Wars and a housing development for Horsford. But first, a theatre director takes his final bow.
He estimates he has directed more than 50 different productions at venues in Norfolk. But this week, Geoffrey Davies is bidding a directorial farewell at the Madam Market Theatre. For the Alan Ayckbourn comedy currently on stage, Absurd Person Singular, it is to be the last show Dr. Davies directs at the Norwich Theatre. And with glowing reviews and a great response from audiences, the inspiring director, who has refused to let having Parkinson's disease stop him achieving great things, looks set to go out on a high. Dr. Davies, who lives in Cossey and was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2011, said he was delighted to see audiences enjoying the show. "It just shows that I'm aiming for and achieving high standards, as I always have. The Parkinson's has not affected that. It's just that I'm slower," he said, adding that he felt his work in theatre and also singing had helped him to cope with dealing with Parkinson's, a progressive neurological condition. Absurd Person Singular is one of the many shows Dr. Davies has directed at the Madam Market in the last decade. Others include Private Lives, The Importance of Being Earnest, and Arsenic and Old Lace. And Dr. Davies has also acted in shows at the theatre. His vast theatrical career has also included directing shows at Sewell Barn Theatre and for Norfolk Opera Players and North Norfolk Chamber Opera. He was also the founder of the opera The Camera Company, with whom he brought a number of operas to the Madam Market Theatre, and he founded the East Anglia Summer Music School. When asked about his highlights as a director over the years, he said every production was a highlight because of the great camaraderie that develops within the company when you are creating a show. And while he plans to hang up his director's hat for now, Dr. Davies, who has also enjoyed a successful career in the field of science, said he planned to keep busy by continuing to teach singing and voice production.
The last remaining BHS stores are to close, with the doomed retailer set to disappear from the high street entirely. Administrators to the department store chain are set to shut 22 stores, including the Norwich branch, bringing an end to 88 years of British retail history. The department store's collapse in April has affected 11,000 jobs, 22,000 pensions, sparked a lengthy parliamentary inquiry, and left its high-profile former owners potentially facing a criminal investigation. Sir Philip Green owned BHS for 15 years before selling it to serial bankrupt Dominic Chappell in 2015.
Parkour Equipment in Cossey, built with thousands of pounds of National Lottery money and grants, has been vandalised for the second time. The park, which was built in 2011 in response to the rising trend for parkour among teenagers, was found to have been damaged, with the exterior tiles, painted by local school pupils, smashed. Parkour, sometimes known as free running, originated in France and is where people run through urban landscapes while jumping, climbing and swinging from street furniture, such as benches and lampposts. The site in Breckland Park cost £20,000 and was funded by grants, a natural lottery windfall of £15,000 and an additional £5,000 from the South Norfolk Community Safety Partnership. After it was built, the wall was defaced, prompting Ormiston Victory Academy to run a competition for their pupils to decorate it with a work of art. A team of pupils then spent two weekends painting the park after the chosen team looked at successful murals in America and designed the wall with bright colours. Vivian Bell, South Norfolk District Councillor for COSSI, said the incident was disappointing. It will be put right as quickly as possible. 2 years ago, the same park was targeted by an arsonist, causing thousands of pounds worth of damage. The culprit was caught and punished. Deputy Clerk Nigel Bailey said COSSI Town Council were working with the police to identify the latest offender.
Store wars have broken out in Norwich again, with the East of England Co-op calling for city councillors to refuse Lidl permission for a new shop. Discount supermarket chain Lidl wants to move its store in Copenhagen Way to the former Gough Petroleum site in Aylsham Road, less than 400 metres away from the current store. But, as Aldi did when Lidl wanted to open a store near Kets Hill, the East of England Co-op, which has a store in Aylsham Road a fifth of a mile away from the proposed site, has objected. Consultants Planning Direct, on behalf of the Co-op, submitted an objection with a string of reasons why Lidl's bid should be rejected. They argue that the 29,654 square foot store would go against the City Council's own local plan, a blueprint for development. They also say Lidl should have provided evidence to show it looked for alternative sites, known as a sequential test, and carried out an assessment of how the store would affect other shops. The removal of trees and the store design are cited as further reasons for rejection. There is no attempt to seek characteristics from the local area or match local distinctiveness, despite the close proximity of the Mile Cross Conservation Area, their objection states. Morrison's had been looking to open a store on the site after applicant and site owner Michael Gough secured permission for them in February 2014. But Morrison's has never started work. Planning consultants acting on Lidl's behalf say that means the principle of the site becoming a food store has already been accepted. A report drawn up by Phil Jones Associates said, "The proposed development represents a viable and deliverable prospect which would be in keeping with the local landscape. The application is due to come before city councillors for a decision later this year."
Lidl has also lodged plans for a new budget supermarket at Sproston. Lidl has asked Broadland District Council for permission to build a 18,000 square foot store north of Blue Boar Lane. The location is less than 100 metres from an existing Tesco Extra.
A 25-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of possessing an offensive weapon following a four-hour police search in the Beaufort area. A Norfolk police spokesman said officers were called to the Lushington Close area in Beaufort after a member of the public reported seeing a man walking in the street holding a knife, heading towards Clover Hill Road. The NPAS police helicopter, armed police units and police dogs were sent to the scene. A police spokesman said, "Police searched areas in Beaufort, COSSI and Larkman, and inquiries led officers to carry out a search at a property in Mays Close, where the suspect was found and detained."
Developers exploring the option of building up to 259 homes to the east of Holt Road in Horsford are taking the first steps towards a full planning application. Land owned by David Wilson Homes lies directly to the north of a new 150-home estate by the same developers, which was fiercely fought by the local community as it went through the planning process and is now under construction. Savills Planning and Development, on behalf of David Wilson Homes, have now applied to Broadland District Council for an environmental impact assessment of the land south of Green Lane, with a view to submitting a full application. Their screening letter states, "Possible effects from residential development in this location could be regarded to be an increase in local road traffic with associated effects on local air quality and the noise environment. Additional demand on local services such as education, libraries, sports facilities, healthcare, public transport, as well as water supply and the treatment of wastewater." However, in conclusion, Savills' letter stated, "In summary, we do not consider that the characteristics of the development proposed in this location are likely to give rise to significant environmental effects. An estimate of traffic numbers ahead of a full traffic assessment is given at around 1,426 movements between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. as a result of 259 new homes. It is considered unlikely that this development will have a severe detrimental impact upon the existing highway network and the associated traffic flows," the screening letter adds. In 2013, around 150 villagers turned out to oppose the plans to build the 150 home estate on the Sharps Hall farm site, but despite objections, the application was passed. Horsford is currently in process of developing a local plan to guide development in the village.
Now to Information Desk. Thank you, Mrs. Dennis, for the stamps, and thank you for letting us know you have been away, Doreen Danes. We hope you had an enjoyable time. Mr. and Mrs. Ivan Towers, thank you for your very interesting reflections about grandchildren. They are obviously a big part of your lives, and you theirs, so keep on enjoying them as they grow up only too quickly.
The NNAB tablets and telephone drop-in sessions are starting up again after a summer break. As more and more of life is becoming internet-based, we want to help the visually impaired feel more confident using a tablet or smartphone they already own, or for those thinking about buying a smart device. Impartial advice will be given and the opportunity to have a go. TAT drop-in sessions run between 10 to 12 a.m. at the NNAB Bradbury Activity Centre, and the next one will be on the 13th of September. There is no need to book, just pop along to talk to one of the volunteers. But if you would like to find out more, call Edward Bates on 01603 629 558. That is 01603 629 558 or email edbates@nnab.org.uk.
That's all from Information Desk for this week. Now to more stories, including a festival celebrating the best of brewing and an accountancy firm making a comeback to the city. But first, a police officer departs the constabulary.
A senior Norfolk and Suffolk police officer has announced her retirement with a parting shot at the force. Sarah Hamlin, assistant chief constable, who joined the force in 1986, tweeted, "After 30 years at Norfolk Police, I've resigned to the fact that my values no longer fit the organisation. I can't make a difference. Support front line." Later, she posted, "And so I wish colleagues and friends all the best. Let's hope policing can recover and the officers and staff welfare is prioritised." And then, "To clarify, I am retiring. Looking forward to spending time with family and friends. Playing golf and kayaking. In another tweet, she stressed her initial tweet was to explain her decision to retire, posting, "Norfolk police are amazing. The officers and staff are second to none. Best force." Miss Hamlin said she would not comment further until after she retired, but in a statement released by both forces said, "I have many fond memories, and without doubt these are the best forces I could have wished to work with." Norfolk's Police and Crime Commissioner, Lorne Green, said, "I am aware of the important contribution she has made over 30 years, and I am disappointed the constabulary will no longer benefit from her knowledge and dedication. I know she had even more to give, but I wish her well in her retirement."
If the Glastonbury Festival has a canine equivalent, this has got to be it. Thousands of dogs and their two-legged friends from across East Anglia flocked to the Royal Norfolk Showground, Cossey, to enjoy 2 days of fun and games. Stallholders at the All About Dogs event touted everything from rainbow-striped leads to doggy dental care. Canine swimming pools, obstacle courses and talent shows went down a treat with owners as well as their pets. Visitor Susan Burcham said she had seen every kind of dog trot by, from pocket-sized pugs to high and mighty Great Danes.
Norwich's growing economy has been given a shot in the arm with the return of a global accountancy giant to the city. KPMG is to re-establish an office in the city 16 years after it left, saying it sees huge potential in the growth of Norwich and in particular its technology and innovation sectors. It comes as a new survey shows the east of England to be the country's third most prosperous region, with Norwich described as blooming. KPMG says it can see similarities in Norwich to Cambridge, from where it has served East Anglia since leaving Norfolk, and has drawn up what it calls an ambitious business plan to become a part of its future growth. Steve Muncey, the firm's East Anglia chairman, who is relocating from Cambridge to head up the office, said, "We've been looking at coming back to Norwich for 2 or 3 years now. This is not a snap decision. Norwich has a gravitational pull of people and businesses into the city. It's clearly growing and has a diverse range of businesses and industries." He added, "Cambridge is very much tech-related and entrepreneurial, and I get the feeling that's happening here. For example, the Norwich Research Park has a reputation and kudos that it didn't before. KPMG's office at Dragonfly House on Gilders Way will open with around 20 staff, relocating mainly from Cambridge, but KPMG hopes to be recruiting from Norfolk by Christmas."
The curtain has gone up on Norwich Theatre Royal's ambitious new learning and participation centre. Called Stage 2, the £3 million venue next to the City Theatre aims to provide a huge boost to the Theatre Royal's work in education, while also offering more opportunities for people of all ages. Peter Wilson, the Theatre Royal's outgoing chief executive, said, "Stage 2 has been 8 years in the planning. Its principal original vision was to equip Norfolk school children with the confidence, ambition, and skills to succeed in life. This vision has been enlarged to include every citizen of Norfolk, of every background and every ability, inside and outside school hours. The Theatre Royal will, within its resources, strive to ensure that the facilities, expertise and support of Stage 2 are available to anyone, everyone, all ages, all abilities. The new building includes a flexible performing space with seating for up to 100 people, as well as rehearsal spaces, dressing rooms, and a light industrial workshop. Young people from the theatre's summer school have been enjoying working across the new centre, ready to put on special performances for an open day, and the group is just one of many of the Theatre Royal hopes will benefit from Stage 2. The building is the Theatre Royal Art Course's new home, and classes and some of the arts course's productions will take place there. It will also host a new technical theatre course run by Access to Music, which starts in the autumn term. The Theatre Royal aims to build on its umbrella trust with Arden Grove Infant and Nursery School and Helston High School, throwing its weight behind the Arts Mark scheme, which supports young people's experiences of learning about the arts. There will be more workshops linked to touring shows and productions at the Theatre Royal, and support will be available to help schools achieve arts awards. New volunteer roles for young people will also be created through a Stage 2 usher scheme, and there are plans for special family days. There will also be opportunities for older people. The Theatre Royal's Limelighter Dance and Movement workshops for the over 50s will take place there, and there are plans for weekly theatre workshops for over 60s and a programme of events for more mature theatre-goers.
A Norwich scientist has been awarded £200,000 to carry out pioneering research into bowel cancer. Professor Alistair Watson, who works at University of East Anglia, is set to lead a team of experts in a study, thanks to the grant from Cancer Research UK. He will look at whether bacteria in the bowel modify cancer-causing genes in mice, and if this relationship is important in the advanced stages of the disease. Identifying such a relationship could help scientists to develop a bacteria-based therapy for advanced bowel cancer. Professor Watson will be collaborating with scientists at Glasgow's Beaton Institute during the project. He said, "The long-term possibilities of the research are very exciting. If bacteria are doing something to protect the bowel, then we could look at how they do it and try to mimic it as a drug to give to patients. But if bacteria are doing something harmful, then we can identify what it is and try to find a way to block it. Every year, around 5,500 people are diagnosed with cancer in Norfolk."
Beer lovers will be raising a glass to independent breweries across the country at an upcoming festival. The Fat Cat Brewery Tap in Lawson Road, Norwich, is throwing the spotlight on niche producers at its annual event to take place from September the 15th to September the 19th. The event will cap off a sterling year for the brewery pub, having won Norwich and Norfolk Camera Awards for the Best Norwich Pub, Best Norwich and Norfolk Pub, and Best Overall Norfolk Pub. Landlord Mark White, who has run the venue for the past 5 years with wife Laura Headley White, said, "We've done beer festivals before, but we've expanded it in order to say thank you to everyone who voted for us." Mr. White said choosing the right beers for the festival was a challenge, and this year's lineup was sourced from as far afield as Cornwall, Scotland, and Wales. He said, "We spent a lot of time researching and getting in exclusive beers, which are right there in the zeitgeist of the beer world at the moment. We're trying to choose brews that come straight from the brewer's heart. We're focusing on independent breweries this year because we find that beers that are brewed for the love of brewing tend to have a lot more flavour, and they just tend to be better and more drinkable."
Thousands of children from East Anglia will start primary school with a healthy weight, but leave overweight and obese 6 years later, health experts are warning. New figures published reveal the extent of childhood obesity in our region, with calls made to parents and decision makers to tackle the problem directly. The warning from Cancer Research UK comes as thousands of children get ready to start the academic year. Obesity has been linked to causing a range of long-term health problems, such as cancer, diabetes, and heart disease, and is estimated to cost the NHS more than $4 billion every year. A spokesman for Norfolk County Council's public health team said, "There are many contributing factors, including behaviour, environment, genetics, and culture, heavily influenced by the power of advertising," the spokesman said. Meanwhile, health chiefs have rolled out initiatives across schools to promote healthy eating and exercise, one of which is currently being assessed for its success. Reducing obesity levels is a priority for local NHS bosses, with treatment for the condition set to rise from 25 million to 38 million within the next 10 years.
Our second feature, read by Sarah, is written by Caroline Coulot, who remembers the day she met the late Gene Wilder.